It's 107.7 The Bone, Baby Huey and Bimbo Jimbo here. And Jimbo, you and I both know we love wrestling. The entire Bay Area knows it. And I can't believe this moment is finally here. We're talking to one of our all-time favorite wrestlers.
I know, man. If I had to list off all of his accomplishments, we'd be here all day. But he is a New York Times best-selling author. He's one of the GOATs of pro wrestling. And he is the lead singer of the kick-ass rock band Fozzy. We are talking to the Ayatollah of rock and roller, Chris Jericho. I'm marking out, man.
What's going on, Chris?
Nothing, man. That was quite the introduction. Can you just follow me around and just intro me wherever I go? That'd be great, please.
It would be my privilege, Chris. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, we really appreciate it.
No, man. I mean, like I said, it's an exciting time because I do a lot of things. And people always ask me, how did you make it in wrestling? How did you make it in rock and roll? How do you do these things that you do? And I love to write, but I thought after having three New York Times best-selling books, autobiographies in the last 10 years, to add a fourth one to that, I thought it would be a little bit pretentious. So I wanted to do something a little different. So I came up with the idea of putting together 20 principles of things that I've learned in my life that have allowed me to achieve these goals that I wanted to achieve and make these things happen. So lessons that I've learned from Paul Stanley to Steve Austin to Keith Richards to my dad, all these different stories and principles and ideas, and put them all together. So it's almost like a self-help motivational manual on how you can achieve the dreams and the goals that you want to achieve.
That's awesome. So yeah, the new book you're just talking about is No is a Four-Letter Word, How I Failed Spelling but Succeeded in Life. It's out today in bookstores and online. So we recommend everyone going out and get it. So yeah, just Chris, just talking about this book, how was the experience writing this one?
Well, once again, I mean, I love to write, and that's why I wanted to do a fourth book. But to put the extra spin on it, it gave me a whole new life because, like I said, like there's certain principles, you know, like the Yoda principle in the book is there is no try, there's only do. That's one that we can all relate to. But there's other ones like the meeting Keith Richards with an assist from Jimmy Fallon and Vince McMahon. It's a great story.
Yeah.
But how do I apply that story to a principle? And the story, to get to meet Keith, there was a lot of, you know, hooks and ladders that I had to go through and a lot of reasons why it probably shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it. I was like, well, this is a great principle. Instead of focusing on reasons why something shouldn't happen, focus on the reason why it can happen and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really fit in. Like it's a hilarious story, but it really fit into the whole concept of what the book was. So it was cool from a challenge standpoint. How can I take these stories and make them fit in? Which principles do I want to use? You know, and having them based all around different people that I've met from over the years, from people that you know that are household names to people you've never heard of, was a lot of fun as well.
That's really cool. And as you just kind of mentioned a second ago, so since we are the Bay Area's rock station, I was very excited to see that Paul Stanley from Kiss did the foreword to your book. And, you know, we love Kiss around here. So what does it mean to have the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer do this foreword for you?
Well, it's more than just the foreword. The reason why I even asked Paul in the first place is he gave this quote in a documentary 30 years ago that I never forgot and really focused in on. And it was, the only people that tell you you can't do something are the ones that have failed. I'm not going to tell you that I can't do something because I did it. You can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I based my whole life on that, my career for sure. Like, don't tell me I can't do something because that just tells me that maybe you didn't achieve what you wanted to do. Hey, Chris, you'll never make it in wrestling. You're too small. Hey, you'll never make it in rock and roll because you're a wrestler. I really don't care what your attitude is. I'm going to do it. So over the years, there's a great story about how I ended up meeting Paul and becoming friends with him. So now not only is the guy that gave you this inspirational, you know, model for your life becomes your friend, and then I thought, well, let me just take it one step further and ask him if he'll do the forward for my book and complete the circle, which he did. So when I don't care like what I've done or who I've met or whatever. When I look at that cover and see, you know, my picture, No is a Four-Letter Word, Chris Jericho, forward by Paul Stanley, it makes me laugh how ridiculous my life is sometimes, because my 14-year-old inner teenage Kiss fan is flipping out every time I see it. But that's part of the whole concept of the book. Just make things happen, man. Just
that's really
it.
Cool.
I love how you have the book broken down into all these different principles. One of my favorite passages so far is the Mike Lozansky principle about standing up for what you believe in. And you tell this great story about, you know, working with AJ Styles and sort of getting the Styles Clash unbanned by Vince McMahon. Can you give sort of the Reader's Digest version of that story here? Because it's phenomenal in the book.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Michael Zansky principle is standing up for what you believe in. And when AJ came in, I believed that he was going to be a huge star, which of course he is. And he had this finishing move called the Styles Clash, which was kind of unofficially banned in the WWE because there was rumors that people had gotten hurt from it and all that sort of thing. But I knew it was a great move. I knew it was an easy move to take. And I knew it was something that could just help AJ, you know, give you an extra color to paint your pictures with. So I basically went to Vince and started using it during matches just so Vince could see it. So he would, and I figured if he saw it and didn't want me to do it, then he would know. But if I start doing it, and people were so mad at me because I was kicking out of the move, it wasn't finished. It was like, Jericho's bearing, AJ's kicking out. I was like, shut up, you idiots. I have a plan here. So I would use the move a few times, and eventually I went to Vince and was like, did you see that move that AJ did? Never using the words Styles Clash, because I knew if Vince maybe might not even know what this move is, but that name is taboo. Oh, the Styles Clash, you can't do it. So I said, you know that move where he picks me up and dumps me in my face? You saw it yesterday? Oh, it's a great move. Yeah, he should use that as a finish. It'd be a great extra thing. Yes, absolutely, use it as a finish. So I was able to kind of indirectly get the move unbanned by just doing it and not asking for permission and never using the name Styles Clash when I talked to Vince about it. And now it's one of AJ's biggest moves. So I believed it could work. I wanted to make that. I wanted to stand up for it. But there's always, you know, once again, you have to be fly about it sometimes.
Yeah.
But it was actually a pretty cool process, and it makes for a great story in the book for sure.
Yeah, it is a great story, and I want to keep it with your most recent WWE run, because even as a lifelong Jerichoholic, it made me appreciate you on this whole new level, and that's your ability to reinvent yourself. I mean, your book is called No is a Four-Letter Word, but you got another two-letter word in it over with the fans, something that I never have seen before. The stupid idiot stuff, the list, the scarves, and it goes on and on. How much fun did you have, and how much pride did you take in this most recent run?
Well, a lot of that's just confidence, right? Believing in your ability. The scarf thing, like, you know, the scarf works because I would say it's cool because I'm wearing it. It's like, you know, why is this guy wearing a scarf in the middle of the summer? You know, because I think it's cool. So I just believe in myself and then make that happen. And but all those things you're talking about, there is a lot of reinvention. And actually, the last principle in the book is the David Bowie principle. Reinvent yourself. Keep things fresh. Because if you're getting stale, and this isn't just about wrestling, it's about anything, your job, your relationship, you know, the car you're driving, what drags you down and just makes you complacent. It makes you yesterday's news. I'm never going to be yesterday's news. Mm-hmm. I'm always wanting to do something different, especially for me being in this business for 27 years. If I'm not constantly changing and evolving, you see what happens. You get nostalgia acts. You get people that rely on their past. When I came into the WWE last year, I wanted to throw everything out the window. Anything that I had done before that got over, just stop doing it and come up with this whole new, you know, the it thing that you mentioned. That was just an exercise for myself to see, I bet you I can get the word it over. I'm going to see if I can do it. And lo and behold, I did it. So that's all part of the reinventing yourself that I'm talking about, keeping yourself fresh so you never end up in a rut in your life or your career.
It was super impressive to see everything you were able to do. And I wanted to touch on one particular moment from your most recent run. And that was the Festival of Friendship, because to me, that was one of the best segments in the last decade of Monday Night Raw. I enjoyed it so much. It was so entertaining. And you really made something work that I don't know that everybody could have made work. And just, you know, take us through, you know, the planning of the Festival of Friendship, how that all came together. And was this sort of like your ode to the barbershop kind of deal?
Well, not really, no. I mean, what I wanted to do with that, and once again, it goes back to the Mike Lozansky thing of the principle of standing up for what you believe in. Because I had that idea months earlier to do a big spectacle with dancing girls and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then it constantly was being changed. Even the day of the show, it was changed, and I didn't like it, and I knew that my way was better, and I stood up for it, even to the point of calling Vince when he was on a plane in the middle of the air and like kind of pitching my case, not taking no for an answer, not allowing my vision to be changed. And I mean, I wanted to go from the campiest just a gigolo David Lee Roth to a complete sea change of this almost murder, like the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones was something that really was resonating, where you have this brilliant, beautiful, fun moment, and then it just goes south in such a quick fashion where you can't believe it. And that, to me, was the brilliance of it. You know, the one of the suggestions that was pitched was for Owens to just attack me, And I was like, that's not how you do it. Like, if we're watching a horror movie and I get attacked and get, like, let's say I get decapitated from behind, big deal. Like, whatever, you're dead, you never knew it. The best parts in the movie is when the guy opens the door and the killer's standing there and he has that moment of realization, like, oh, I am so dead in the next 2 seconds.
Yeah.
We all know it as viewers. He knows it as a guy. And that's what I really wanted to do with when, you know, the reveal of, like, how come my name's on this? The list of KO, turn around, look at him, like, no, no, don't do this, don't do this, and boom, there comes the murder. So I thought that was a great piece of entertainment because it had all emotion. Like I said, at the beginning of it, if you watch that, that's complete David Lee Roth. Mm-hmm. The end is complete Game of Thrones Red Wedding. And I don't know if there's anybody else on the planet that would ever put a David Lee Roth Game of Thrones Red Wedding a segment together, but... if there's one person, it was me, and like you said, it worked out. It was definitely one of my favorite things that I've done, maybe even the crowning jewel of what I've done in all these years of being in the WWE.
Wow.
Nice. Very cool. So, Chris, last question for you. As you say many times, you are one of the GOATs, and you've been wrestling for a long time now. At this point in your career, and you've been wrestling at a high level all this time, but is there anyone at this stage in your career you want to work with that's currently in WWE, and do you have a timetable of how much longer you want to do this for?
Well, I'm not doing it now. You know, I come and go. I'm gone now. You know, will I be back? Maybe, possibly. If I never wrestled again, it wouldn't bother me. I do things because I want to do it and because I have because it creatively fulfills me or intrigues me. So I don't care about, like, what is anybody you want to work with. It's what's the story behind it? Because I've worked with everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's the storyline that you can put behind these things to make people really care about it? That's something I loved about my last run there with the Dean Ambrose story and the stuff I did with Roman Reigns and the whole thing with Owens, the AJ story when he first came in. That, to me, is my forte. You know, the Rey Mysterio story I had in 2009, the Shawn Michaels story in 2008. That's why I like wrestling, is the storytelling aspect of it. Anybody can go in the ring and flip-flop and fly, but what's the reason for it? If I can think of a good story or if a good story is presented to me, then I'm all in. And I don't care if it's with John Cena or if it's with, you know, Enzo Amore, whoever. If it's a good storyline that I can sink my teeth into, that I know people will love, a.k.a. just like the Festival of Friendship, then I'll come back again. If it's not, then it might be a little bit harder to attract me.
Gotcha. Well, Chris, listen, from Jimbo and myself, we just want to thank you for all the years of entertainment. We know it's a tough industry out there, but we really appreciate it, everything you've done. So we encourage everyone to go out there, get your latest book, Knows a Four-Letter Word, How I Failed in Spelling but Succeeded in Life. It's out now online and in stores. And also, Chris, just a heads up, Jimbo and myself, we're going to be up in Sacramento in October for the Aftershock Festival. So we look forward to seeing Fozzy live and in person. Hopefully we could talk to you in person out there as well.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great festival. And like I said, the Bay Area is an awesome place. So always cool to be up in that area for sure.
Awesome. Chris, thank you so much for making the time today. Good luck with everything with the book and with the band. We look forward to the new album that also comes out in October. Judas comes out October 13th with Fozzy. So we look forward to blasting that here at the stage and talking to you up at Aftershock. Thank you.
Yeah, take care, Chris.
Looking forward to it, man. Thanks, boys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Wow, Jimbo, I can't believe it. We finally got to talk to the man, Chris Jericho. That was amazing.
That was a lot of fun and a definite bucket list off wrestlers that we wanted to interview for sure. And, I mean, he's just... Chris Jericho is a national treasure, and
totally.
That was awesome.
I was going to say, we could check it off. Of all the list of wrestlers we've been lucky to interview the last few years, it's amazing. Just the list we have growing now.
Yeah,
so.
Our list.
Yes,
we can put Jericho. You just made the list.
Yes. So just to recap for everyone, so Chris Jericho has a lot of stuff to actually promote.
He's a renaissance man.
I know, absolutely. What's it called when you got a lot of irons in the fire?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a very busy man.
He is.
So as we just talked to Chris about his new book, No is a Four-Letter Word, How I Failed Spelling but Succeeded in Life. His new book, it's out now. You can get it online or you can go to your local bookstore. So I totally recommend going out and getting it. Support the man. You can get all the
support
info.
The product.
Absolutely. You go to his website, chris-jericho.com. Also, as I mentioned at the end, so, you know, his rock band Fozzy, they will be releasing a new album called Judas on October 13th. And also, as I mentioned, he's going to be up at the Aftershock Festival in Sacramento October 21st and 22nd. So just keep in mind, Fozzy is playing day number two up there. So technically October 22nd. You can get your tickets right now at AftershockConcert.com. Also check out his band's website, FozzyRock.com. And then, you know, since we are talking about wrestling, we got to talk about our boys in WWE. So they are coming to the Bay Area in a couple weeks for two shows. So Raw is coming to the SAP Center in San Jose on Monday, September 18th. And then SmackDown Live, which Jericho was most recently on that roster, is coming to the Oracle Arena in Oakland on Tuesday, September 19th. And get your tickets right now at Ticketmaster.com.
I was just going to say, too, you gotta check out Chris Jericho's website, too, because he releases, like, every so often, sort of like Ric Flair does now, these new sort of exclusive Jericho T-shirts.
Yes.
Like, I have one that he was selling a couple months ago. It was the goat T-shirt. So it's Jericho's head on an actual goat, and it's a pretty cool shirt. So, yeah, check those out.
That's really cool. And, of course, you can follow Chris Jericho on Facebook, at Chris Jericho, on Twitter, at I Am Jericho, or you can check him out on Instagram, at Chris Jericho Fozzy. So he's a great guy. We love talking to him. I can't believe we actually got to talk to him. That was just so much fun. So.
Yeah, and I'm excited for WWE to be back in the Bay Area.
Totally.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I know. I'm really excited to see what's going to go on with WWE themselves, what storylines are going to have coming up by that point. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
and No Mercy in L.A. at the end of September as well.
Man, so much going on. So it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. Jimbo, where can people find you online?
They can find me on Instagram, bimbo.jimbo. You can follow me on Twitter, my wrestling podcast dedicated to Lucha Underground, which is at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. So be sure to check that out, at James Kincaid. That's K-I-N-C-A-I-D. For all you stupid idiots out there that don't know how to spell my last name. Traditional Scottish spelling. But yeah, find me on there. I don't tweet much. Follow me on Instagram. Bimbo.jimbo is the best place to find me.
That's awesome. Follow me on Facebook at Baby Huey Official, Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey A3. For everything else, including this interview, just go to 1077thebone.com. Remember to subscribe to 1077 The Bone's podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you again for listening and looking forward to the next interview. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.